Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now to a practice embraced by the U.S. military, Google, Congressman Tim Ryan, General Mills corporate office, countless yoga teachers, and a high school in the Bronx. Mindfulness meditation. A significant body of scientific evidence shows that even limited practice improves attention and reduces stress. Brain imaging shows that long-term mindfulness training can help thicken the cortical regions associated with attention and sensory processing. We read in The Atlantic about how mindfulness meditation is being used in schools and about some of the programs now training teachers. Argos Gonzalez is one of them. He's an English teacher at the Schomburg Satellite School in the Bronx. It's a small high school for students who've dropped out or fallen behind. He's also adjunct instructor at Hunter College, where he teaches literary instruction. And Argos, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Arturo Schomburg Satellite Academy. This is in the Bronx. It's a transfer school. Now, what does that mean?
So transfer school are for students who, for a lot of reasons, sometimes have to leave their old and former school. So sometimes they might look for another option so that they could graduate. So the students that come to us have sometimes been pushed out or have dropped out or have fallen behind and really just want to get their degree. So they come to us for support and help.
Now, mindfulness can be very difficult to explain even to adults. How do you introduce this concept to students?
Well, a lot of it is experiential. I ask them to take a couple of breaths with me, and then I ask them to see if it had an impact on them. And even that small act of taking a couple of breaths and pausing to pay attention to it usually sparks their interest. And then we'll kind of troubleshoot what some issues they might have when they can't really just be present in the moment, meaning, guys, you're supposed to be paying attention right now, but what are you really thinking about? Things like that. And by just bringing attention to things that happen in their life and talking about small experiences that we share together, just those two things creates a lot of buy-in for them, and then they're willing to explore it a little bit more.
What do you think are some of the things that would be on the minds of your students?
So a lot of them are worried about graduation. A lot of them are worried about, you know, their family situations, where they're going to go to work, whether they are going to have a place to stay, some of them, for the night. I mean, it really, really varies at the school that I'm in. Some students have very normal lives. They're just worried about going home to play video games or to go see their boyfriend or their girlfriend. But a lot of the students that I deal with are thinking about a lot of the things that grown-ups are thinking about, how to pay bills, how to take care of themselves and their loved ones, and how to, you know, reach their dream.
And how long and how often do you do these meditation practices in the classroom?
I have 90-minute blocks, but I don't do 90 minutes of mindfulness with them. I'll have them come in and I'll have a do now on the board. And then at some point I'll ring my singing bowl, and then we'll do like maybe a 5-minute, if that long, practice. And then we'll just talk about it and debrief for it. So at the most, we're spending 10 to 15 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes of it practicing, and the rest of the time debriefing.
And are they able to stay with it? I mean, I'm just imagining classrooms when I was in high school, you know, people passing notes or laughing or, you know, now looking at their phones.
Yeah, I mean, part of the way I've been trained is to know that participation looks different for everybody. So, you know, sometimes kids will pull out phones, sometimes kids will be doing work. And at the beginning, I just really let them know that it's okay. As long as they're not disturbing or creating noise or making it difficult for other students to participate, it's okay for them to just sit back and just take these couple of minutes to really sit and do what they feel will make them feel better. So a lot of times, students don't know what to do with themselves for 2 or 3 minutes. So yeah, they'll pull out a phone or they'll pass a note or they'll giggle. But it's such a welcoming environment that I try to establish that it's okay to do that. And then we'll talk about it. They'll still be allowed to participate in the conversation that we have. And if they're comfortable, maybe even explain why they chose not to participate. So sometimes it creates for a situation where some students get self-conscious because some kids might not participate. So then I'll address that. But for the most part, it's okay. I kind of point out that if you can't really just sit still for 2 minutes, that's worth investigating.
How did you come upon this and using it in the classroom?
So I've been working in the Bronx for a number of years, and I've always had this social emotional approach because I realized early on that they needed that type of support. If I wanted them to do well in class or in school or in life thereafter, I really needed to give them some resources to deal with all the changes and feelings that they were going through. So I always kind of had this approach to being candid about my emotions and vulnerable and kind of asking them questions and then getting into the lesson. But then my wife took this training to teach yoga to children right after we had our daughter because we were having a hard time really just being present and being compassionate towards her because we were so busy and we were so tired. And, you know, raising a child can be really draining. And we were struggling because she was really strong-willed and we didn't know how to approach it so that it was. We had a productive interaction rather than us just kind of getting upset and her crying. So she really got involved and she showed me a couple of things that they taught her, and I decided to try them out with my students.
We're speaking with Argos Gonzalez. He is a mindful school certified instructor and English teacher in the Bronx. He's been working with his students to do mindfulness meditation in the classroom. Well, you mentioned that you're seeing results. I'm thinking about complaints that I've heard from a lot of teachers about. All of their schooling is teaching to the test. It's very results oriented. Everything has to be very sort of tangible. Now, mindfulness may not be testable, but how do you see the difference in the students?
Well, for me, the ability to focus is key when we're trying to learn. So just having them focus on their breath and build up that skill set, I think, has a lot of benefits for them and their ability to just, you know, I have 90 minutes with them in a block. That's a long time to ask students to sit down and pay attention to you. You're going to find that students don't have the stamina often to pay attention that long. So by having mindful breaks or just having a mindful practice that you do at the beginning every time, you're kind of inculcating that stamina and that ability to focus. Something else that I think also supports them is the fact that we're working on helping them regulate themselves. And a lot of times students have a lot of emotions, they have a lot of things going on, and that really gets in the way of learning. If you're worried about where you're going to get your next meal, you're not really going to be interested in the novel that I'm trying to teach you.
Is there any indication you get from them that they are putting this kind of practice to work in other parts of their lives outside of school?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because oftentimes what happens is that I'll have a student come up to me and be like, oh, my little brother was getting on my nerves and I just wanted to smack him at the side of the head. But you know what? I decided to take a breath and I kind of just smiled at him. I told him it was okay. And, you know, I didn't hit him. And that felt good to be able to do that. Or if they're at work and let's say they work at retail and they have just a customer that's just really getting on their nerves, they're just able to acknowledge that, you know, this person's getting on my nerves. But if I take a breath, I'll be able to deal with the situation in a way that will be more responsive and healthier to me, but also just kind of get this person moving on in their life too. So I'll get examples like that often from them. But sometimes also their parents will come talk to me and just tell me like, you know, I don't know, my son is now talking about this mindfulness thing. I don't know what it is, but I realized that he's a lot calmer and he's able to like have more conversations with me without losing his cool, whereas before that used to be an issue. So those are usually the main ways that I can pick up on something like that.
Well, the Bronx and New York City in general is known for, you know, being extremely diverse, having a lot of different cultures and languages spoken there. And I'm wondering if there is any resistance from families, especially to practices regarded by some as mystical or having some religious connotations. I mean, especially among Catholics and evangelicals, for example.
It's funny because that hasn't really been the issue as far as resistance goes. It hasn't usually been because it's too, they think it's spiritual or religious. Usually the resistance is more around, oh, I heard about this stuff. That stuff doesn't really work. Uh-huh. It's just a fad. They're kind of just like, oh, I don't know. No way. People have told me to take 10 breaths all the time and it has nothing for me. So what are you showing me that's going to be different? So usually the resistance is around that. But I find that these students that I work with, you know, at first, it's really hard to build trust with them because, you know, they've been in other educational institutions that maybe didn't treat them the way that they wanted to be treated. So they come here and they're just going to take care of business. They're not going to make any friends. And they just have a guard, like a big, big guard up. So getting them to trust me is sometimes difficult. But even through the mindfulness, which they are skeptical about, they find that they have these conversations that they feel good about and feel comfortable about. So then they're able to say, you know what, I'll give this a shot, even though I don't think it's going to work.
Well, Argos, you're working in one of the poorest boroughs and districts in the country, you know, with people, some of these kids have been to jail or in the foster care system, extreme economic insecurity in many, many cases. Now, you've been trained as a mindful school certified instructor. This is being used in schools in the UK and some in the US. Do you think it has applications for kids who don't have those kind of stressors, you know, the general population?
Sure. For sure. You know, I'm fortunate to eavesdrop on my wife's conversations because she gets to work with a lot of those populations. And when I'm talking to her about her experience, she tells me that, you know, everybody has struggles. They might be different struggles, but they're all struggling with wanting to feel accepted. They're all struggling with the demands that life throws their way. They're all struggling with making sure that they have a fulfilling life. So those struggles, I think, are universal in a way. And I think mindfulness supports all of that. Now, some people's struggles are harder than others, for sure. Some people's lives are more traumatic and need a bigger intervention. But I feel that everybody could use a mindfulness practice in the sense that we all have sometimes our minds running a mile a minute. Or I like to say sometimes we're on the crazy train and we know we're on the crazy train, but we don't know how to get off. We all have these experiences where we're struggling with just regulating our emotions or controlling our impulses or even just focusing at the task at hand. But I think this intervention, as simple as it is, it can be very helpful to a large variety of people.
Well, Argos, thank you so much for speaking with me. And as I say to every teacher, thank you for doing the work you do.
Oh, and thank you for having me and for continuing the conversation.
Argos Gonzalez is a mindful school certified instructor and English teacher at the Schomburg Satellite School in the Bronx. He's also an adjunct instructor at Hunter College, where he teaches literacy instruction. And you can find a link to the article from The Atlantic where we first read about Argos. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.